Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Today, my friends, we're going to hit the mailbag, but before we do that, I have one of those opportunities in life to share with you a personal disaster slash opportunity slash personal growth slash it parallels everything you go through when you're thinking about changing your life opportunities. And so I'm going to share this with you today. But I'd like to make sure that it's not just a story about me, that it's paralleled into something that you can utilize to benefit yourself and your life. So what am I talking about? I'm talking about starting something new in life. So you start out and you take an opportunity, you look at something like maybe your financial situation, you go, there's something wrong with my financial situation, right? And I know there's something wrong. It's not doing what I wanted to do. When I look at it, it's obvious that it's broken, that it's not going to get me where I need to be. It's not accomplishing what it was set out to do. So if you keep doing what you're doing and expecting to get a different result, that is the definition of insanity, right? So what you have to do is decide what it is you need to do differently, right? That leads you to all kinds of things out there that you can look at. But for some reason, you realize, because most people finally end up doing, is realizing that 90% of most of the millionaires were created by real estate in one form or another. Even if they have businesses that are very successful, they usually buy real estate with the money they make from the business, and the real estate itself then perpetuates their wealth into a high degree. So most people end up realizing that at some point in their life. So there you go. You decide you're going to go do real estate. So when you do that, what do? You get out there on the internet and you look for information. I'll just go ahead and bring the parallel story up, and that is I've been living in the same house now for like 11, 12 years, and the wrought iron fences are starting to rust out all around my backyard. Hence, I've had them painted before, and I'm not one to sit there and sand the rust off and paint and whatever, and do, you know, hours in the heat, whatever. Not going to do it. Just not my thing. I know I could do it if I had to, but I'm just not to, so I paid somebody to do it. But that was quite expensive. But now those fences are starting to rust apart. And if you look into what these fence replacements cost, what it would cost to take the fence apart, put new fence back in, it's astronomically high. So now you get into this situation where, what is it worth to me to do this myself? And you may be in the same situation going, okay, I can go invest in real estate by just throwing my money at somebody else out there and become going with a syndicator somewhere, letting him put the money all into his deal and do nothing, right? And if you're in the right situation, like in our situation where we try to put together the safest possible option for passives to get into syndication deals, then you may do okay. There's a probably 90%, 95% chance you'll do okay, but there's still a 5% chance that whoever you put your money with is going to go cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, and you may lose money. And so it's very costly decision to make. One of the things you're going to find, though, if you just keep looking up education information out there, you're going to find that if you watch 20 different videos on how to do real estate investing, you're going to find 20 different ideas. And there you go. There's the dilemma. There's where you are. You're stuck. That's today. I'm speaking to the beginners, guys. I'm not speaking to those of you that already made it past this point, but this is where 90% of the people fail. They never get past go, because they can't get around the problem. And that, my friends, that's not going to change until you get up, get going, and make something happen for yourself. And that's what we want to talk about. Because I ran back into that same feeling, that same hold me back before I get going kind of stuff. The problem I had that I'm going to show the parallel to is that being here 11 years, at my house now, 11, 12 years, the wrought iron fences are starting to rot out. And I looked at how expensive that would be to replace them all. And it was very, very expensive. So it was just simply much less expensive to fix them. In addition to that, whether you realize this in life or not, no matter how old you are, and I'm approaching 70 now, no matter how old you are, there's things in life that make you interested. You want to do something interesting. And I thought, why don't I re-energize myself and learn how to weld and weld these fences together just for fun, you know? Plus, I have a lot of other welding projects I like to do. I'm already an avid woodworker. I have a complete shop. And I have a lot of the metalworking tools also because I, you know, work with metal and wood together in many projects. But I had stopped. I had not picked up welding again for a long time. I welded in high school. I stick welded, and then just they barely came out with MIG welding when I was in high school. So I did a little MIG welding, but not much. So here I am. I'm looking at this thing. Okay, nowadays everybody MIG welds. It's way easier than stick welding. So I watched a few videos, just like you watch a few videos about how to do real estate investing, right? And the people speak to you. And then I watched a bunch of videos on which welder to buy, and that'd be like you watching a bunch of videos on which real estate training program to join, right? But first of all, you have to realize what you want to do. So I have to understand, what is it I want to weld? Well, I go, okay, I want to weld my fence, but I also have a giant aluminum trailer that I've always wanted to add things to. And I've always said, yeah, I'm going to get me an aluminum welder and start welding some add-on things to the trailer, make it cool. So I decided on a welder that had three things. One, it could regular weld, MIG weld, which is simple. Two, it could aluminum weld. And three, it had something called synergistic settings, which means you just put in the machine what you're welding, what wire you're using, what gas you're using, and the machine sets itself to the correct temperature and wire feed. Simple enough that even a beginner can do this. So it's kind of a beginner entry-level machine. You can turn it to manual if you want to, if you're a pro. But it was kind of an interesting thing. And it also had pulse welding, which allowed for very low-powered welding so you could do aluminum. All this is very interesting, right? So I got the machine. Everything's fine. And, you know, that machine sat in my garage for a while. And I read more and I did more. And then I got stuck with another project. And something else came up, and I'm working on that. And I'm working on my train set. And I'm working on some woodworking stuff. And just sort of sat there. And I didn't get to it, I didn't get to it, I didn't get to it. And that's you. You've already looked into all this stuff, or maybe even joined somewhere. And you listened to, you know, some of the information, but you just didn't go out and take action. Finally, I caught myself in this dilemma. I said, you know, you got to stop this. So I went ahead and figured out how to turn the welder on. And I also bought a plasma torch. And I went to my apartment complex. I said, give me all the bed frames and garbage that people throw away that are made out of metal so I can practice on this stuff. And I brought this metal home and a big old pile of metal sitting in my garage. My wife is losing her mind now. She said, what are you doing? You're going to burn the garage down. You can't weld. Welding is something special, you know, that only certain people can do. You're going to have poisonous gases. It's going to kill us. I mean, it just, you name it, when a wife gets on that tangent that it doesn't work or a husband gets on that tangent, this is stupid, there's no shutting them down, man. And sometimes you just have to shut them out. You can't shut them down, but you can shut them out and just go ahead and do what you got to do. And so I shut her out, got out the welder, got out the plasma torch, cut the metal all up, built myself a welding table, built myself a metal storage rack that I could store all this stuff, get it up off the floor and everything and store it nice and neat. And then I brought her back in and she was like, wow, she couldn't even believe that first of all, I could weld something. Second of all, I could cut metal. Third of all, I could put it back together after I cut it all apart, put it back together into something useful. That just blew her mind. So as I was working, going on, I decided to try to do some very thin metal, which is what the tubes, the square tubes of the fence gates are made out of. So I got that kind of tube and I started welding on it, but I had too large of welding wire and it was burning right through it. So I went down to a smaller welding wire. There's where I made my mistake. I unscrewed the tip, but the tip comes out of the holder. I took out the tip and the tip holder. And when I tried to put the tip holder back in, it didn't go all the way back in. I didn't even notice that it didn't go all the way back in. And I welded with it, not all the way back in, but that wouldn't allow it to weld correctly because there's gas that comes out of this thing that is what keeps the weld from burning itself out. So you don't have to understand all that. The bottom line is it wasn't working correctly, and I was just burning through metal left and right with this itty-bitty tiny wire, which should have said I couldn't burn through metal if I tried. But somehow I was, and that was because I had no gas. And so I looked at it and figured out what was wrong, and I called the people, and they said, well, send me a video of what it is that you know, why won't it go back together right? And they said, send me a video. So I sent them a video, and then the next day I get up and go, you know, I know what they're going to tell me. Just screw it in there a little tighter. And so I went back with the pliers and tried to screw it in, screw it out, move it around, put a little lubricant on it, broke off, wouldn't go back in. So it was definitely defective, or I defected it by welding with it out, you know, not screwed all the way in, whatever it is. So finally, luckily for me, they came back and said, okay, we'll just send you a new one, you know. And so it was under warranty and it wasn't a problem. They're real nice about it, in fact. I'm very happy about that. But there it was. There was my first big mistake. But my big mistake was dealt with by the fact that I was with a company that understood that they were selling beginner-level welders and that people were going to make mistakes and the welders were going to mess up and it was cheaper just to send you another part than to fight over it or to ruin their reputation. That's what you want to find and a reason why you go to someplace like Lifestyles Unlimited. You need to get with people that understand that you're a beginner. You need to get with people to understand you're going to try to do things that don't make sense and they're going to talk you out of them and they're going to help you work through them. If you don't have that kind of help, then what's going to happen? If these guys wouldn't have sent me another thing, I would have had to buy another welder. I might have just said, you know what, forget it. It's not worth it. I'll just go ahead and pay somebody to weld the fences. But as soon as they sent me another welder, it was no big deal. I got through it because I had set myself up with the right people. And that's what you need to do. You need to set yourself up with the right people so they can work you through this process. Now, as I work through the process, I came across one last problem, which I'm going to cover when we come back from break, because there is one last problem that needs to be dealt with. Be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Teaching you with a roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Walmsley Radio Show returns in moments.
Lifestyles Unlimited member Lisa appreciates having mentors who have her back.
Having the faith to move forward and y'all have everything provided, I could call a mentor and say, hey, I don't know what to do. Someone is always there to guide you. I have backup.
Lifestyles Unlimited, over 33 years teaching the real estate retirement roadmap. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join now for $297, a 60% savings. Lifestyles Unlimited. Text radio to 88007.
You're hearing the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. Today we're going through how to get through life challenges. And I'm paralleling a scenario of mine where I've got this problem, this broken problem. My broken problem is my fences are broken. They're rusted out. They need to be rewelded together. And paralleling that with you, your financial plan is broken. It doesn't work, and you're not going to be able to retire. And the longer you wait, the worse it gets, and the less chance you have of getting it done, and the more it's going to cost you to get done. And that's basically the same problem I had. So I took it on myself to go out there, just like you take it on yourself to go out there and learn something about real estate investing. I went out there to learn how to do welding again and got into it, bought the equipment I needed, which would basically equate to you joining a membership and learning how to do stuff. And you get the information and you study and you still got to go do something. And I just put off actually striking up the welder and start welding something. As soon as I struck it up, it was amazing how easy it was to get started. and the plasma cutter, same thing. You just have to do it. I mean, you don't understand, no matter what you watch on video, no matter what you read in a book or a manual, it doesn't make sense until you do it. So doing something is the most important thing. However, the one problem you have is that you don't know what you don't know. And that is the real problem. You think you know, and you have fear of what you don't know, and you have questions you've already run into that, you know, I don't even know what to do in this situation. One of the things I ran into was part of the instructions were in inches and part of the instructions were in meters. And so if you look at the charts, they had the information both in inches and meters. And that was real difficult for me until I figured that out. Once I figured it out and figured out that there's 39.39 millimeters to an inch, it was simple. Or 39.39 inches to a meter, I'm sorry. And then it became very obvious to me. Okay, I see the conversion. I see what they're doing. They're flipping back and forth because some of the stuff is in metric and some of it's in ANSI or whatever they call it, American measurements. So it would have been so simple if I could have just asked somebody, what is all of this gobbledygook here on these settings? And it took me a long time to figure that I burn up a bunch of metal not getting the settings right because I couldn't put in. Remember, you have to put in what it is you're doing so it can give you the right welding amperage, the right welding voltage. And so I started thinking, man, I sure wish I was in something like Lifestyles and Welding. I wish there was the welding equivalent to where you could go to meetings and you could watch people weld and they could tell you about the problems you were going to run into and show you how to avoid those problems so you don't run into them before you run into them, right? That is the idea, is to learn beforehand. But in addition to that, I wish I had a mentor. You got me? And so I wished for that. I could not find that out there in the welding world. It just seemed like, man, there's got to be a way to have a mentor that will help you every inch of the way. But they have classes, but they don't have mentors. And I guess the only way you find a mentor is maybe join up somewhere where they have a welding school and you befriend somebody or something like that. I guess that's what you'd have to do. But it's something that's what you get. Lifestyles, it's so different, is you get a mentor. You get live people you can talk to and ask questions. And here's an example. I just brought this one out just for you to understand what I'm talking about. This guy sent me his email, and he says, I'm going to do my first 1031 exchange in June. It's in spring. Very nice, clean, middle-class neighborhood. The great thing about it is location, location, location. It's very close to 249, which used to be FM 149, before they expanded it to accommodate huge development that has happened out there. It's on Loetta. It's recent years got an entrance ramp, blah, blah, blah. But the most unique part of this location is its amenities that are all within a mile. Lowe's, Home Depot, huge vintage park complex that is built from scratch in that was deep forest. There are every restaurant, coffee shop, ice cream shop, Methodist hospital complex, essentially everything you could possibly need to want to be right there. The subdivision is, I'm not going to say what it is, the houses range from 1,500 to 2,000 square foot, mostly are single family. All right. Guy goes on and asks me some questions about, you know, what should he sell this thing for, what price, and so on and so forth, and what should he do to get it ready for sale. That's not what I'm here to talk about. What I'm here to talk about is this guy has absolutely no idea what's valuable about real estate. In Houston, Texas, I don't know if you'll live out in the Podunks. I'm sure it's different. But in Houston, Texas, you can go exactly 5 miles, and everything he said is replicated. There's a Home Depot every 5 to 8 miles away from each other. There's a Lowe's every 5 to 8 miles away from them. There's every grocery store, every restaurant. If there's one restaurant in town, there's 8 of them in town, unless it's a specialty restaurant, which is downtown somewhere in the middle where everybody would drive into. That's just the way this is. To him, all that meant his house had a lot of value. His house doesn't have a lot of value, so he has no idea. He thinks he's got a great house in a great neighborhood that's unbelievably good neighborhood compared to everything else. It's not. Does it matter? That's the part. As an investment property, it doesn't even matter. Now, if he's selling it to a resident, he's got to find a resident willing to live in a part of town. he doesn't even understand that what we do, and let's change the topic just a little bit. He asked me about how to sell a personal residence. Obviously, he'd like to get information from me as a mentor, but that's not even what I do. I don't sell personal residences. I buy investment properties, I rent investment properties, and then I sell investment properties. None of which what I do has anything to do with what he just talked about. I can throw a rock anywhere. I can put a map of Houston up, I can take a dart and throw it at it with my eyes closed or blindfolded, and wherever it hits, everything he said about that subdivision is right there too. That's just what he doesn't get. Now, why did I bring all this up? Not to put the gentleman down. I brought it up because I just want you to understand, when you start something new, you don't even know what you don't know. You think you know something about what you don't know, but you don't even know what you don't know. And if he would have contacted me with this information, right, I would have been able to tell him before he made these decisions, what are the right decisions to make before you make them, not I'm making them, right? Now, but before you make them. And by the way, don't ask people what you should do after you've already done it, because this guy's already bought this house. He's already set up to do a 1031. I guess really his real question is this: should I put new appliances in it or not? That's what it comes down to. See, should I get three appraisals instead of one? No. Do I put new appliances in it? Depends on the subdivision, what's there, and what you're going to be able to get for it. Has fairly new AC and furnace. That's fine. Superb location, whatever. How does all this play out in my list price, et cetera? So the bottom line is that he's worried about a bunch of stuff that may or may not be that important to what he's doing. But that's not the point. The point I'm making is that when you go look for help, he's contacting a commercial real estate investor for help on a residential personal sale. That in and of itself is wrong. That in and of itself is going to get him wrong information or no information. So when you go out there and you're going to start a new project and you're talking about, I'm talking about welding, I can't call a guy that's a sheet metal guy that doesn't weld. I can't call a guy that's a woodworker who doesn't weld. I can't call my train guy. I got to find a guy that does MIG welding that can help me. How do you overcome the not knowing of what you don't know situation? I've got two examples that I'm going to share with you right now. I think they're very relevant, if I can pull them up here, because I have to clear this away and get to this email here that somebody sent me I thought was really interesting. Let's talk first about this lady here, and who doesn't have any idea what she's doing. Says, I've been listening to you on the radio for a couple of months now, and I'm going to join Lifestyles as soon as it makes sense. So she hasn't joined. And so she doesn't know what she doesn't know yet, right? Right now, my family and I are a bit of a pickle. You're the only one I think can give me honest feedback. We currently own our home that we live in with over $200,000 in equity. We have to move from Washington State to California because of my husband's job. We were thinking we would purchase our new home as a second property and keep the current one as a rental. We would easily be able to collect over $1,000 a month on income from our current home because our interest rate is very low. The problem is we only have $40,000 to put down on the new home, which would increase our monthly payment a lot. All right, let's talk about this. The question she has is, what should I do? And the answer to that's irrelevant to a couple of facts. Number one, she's moving from a very tenant-unfriendly state to a tenant-unfriendly state. And the $200,000 in equity, we don't know, is the house paid in full or is that equity in, on top of a debt that they owe? So in other words, we don't know how expensive the home is. When she says there's $100, $1,000 a month of positive cash flow, the question is, and by the way, was that $1,000 a month? $1,000 a month, yep. The question is then, is that before or after property taxes and insurance? Is that, you know, just the house would make $1,000 a month more than what the mortgage payment is? Does the mortgage payment include taxes and insurance? What about maintenance, repair, management, and so on and so forth? So she really hasn't thought that through. She just sees $1,000 a month. But here's the problem. Listen carefully to what I'm saying. $1,000 a month is $12,000 a year on a $200,000 investment. That's a 6% return. That's a terrible return. 6%, I can earn that in a savings account. My savings account's earning 5.25% right now. That's terrible. There's dead equity in there, and she's trying to rent the house in one of the worst landlord law states there are. Washington believes the tenant is God, and in that state, along with California, if a tenant moves out and your house is vacant and some squatter comes in and moves in, you can't get rid of them. Because it is a democratic blue state that believes that squatters have a right to your assets. Insane. I would never own a rental property in Washington, the state, or California, the state, or Oregon, the state, or New York, the state, or Illinois, the state. These states are run by lunatics that have no idea what they're doing in this world. Right? Steal from the rich, give to the poor, whatever their motto is. Right? So you don't want this. This lady doesn't want, but she doesn't even know she doesn't want this. She doesn't know the problems of dealing with tenants in a state like Washington. So the answer, ma'am, is you need to sell that house and get out of there. Now, what is the real thing you should do? First of all, I wouldn't put all that $200,000 down on your next house. That's ridiculous. I would put as small amount down as possible. Let me give you an example, guys, of the difference between what we do and what the average person does. She can't figure... Well, I guess she said she could buy it with $40,000 down, but the payment would be too high. The payment's high because you live in California, guys. Come on. Listen to this story. I just closed on a house in San Antonio, capturing about $40,000 in instant equity after a projected four-week rehab with a projected $200 to $300 cash flow and only paid $87 at closing. Not really a question, just wanted to tell someone how great this deal is. So for $87, he made $40,000. Are you with me? For $87, he made $40,000 plus a cash flow of $200 to $300 a month. So let's go to the calculator, and we'll take halfway. We'll just take $250 a month times 12. That's $3,000 a year divided by $87. That's a 344% return compared to 6. Now, why doesn't this lady just join my program before she makes any decisions in her life? She has no idea. By the way, this lady's name is Sarah. She has no idea that she doesn't know what she doesn't know. And that's been the theme of this whole show today. You don't know what you don't know. By the way, I emailed the guy back and I said, why did you put so much down? $87. And he goes, yeah, 87 is a bit high. Next time I'll look for a zero down deal. Guys, you don't know what you don't know. You need to get in and you need to get educated. You need to get a mentor. You need to understand that there is so much involved that someone can simply clear it away for you. First of all, just the education to clear the path to tell you what you should and shouldn't do. Secondly, a quick answer from questions like this 100 times over. Quick call, boom, answer solved, problem solved. And somebody to read into it. She's not even asking, is, you know, Washington State a good place to invest? She's just simply saying, I want to do it. Is the money right? And the answer, the money is wrong, which I showed you. But also, the state is wrong. So, my friends, as I said, I'm looking for a MIG welding mentor somewhere out there. When I find one, my journey will be much better. Until then, I'll just keep hacking away and practicing and practicing and practicing. And that's what you need to do. Let's get out there. Let's get going on this thing. Let's get started. You don't need to fight this battle yourself. We've been here 34 years. I have 50,000 clients. We've done this tens of thousands of times, if not hundreds of thousands of times. Get in here. Get started, and don't be like this lady. Wait to join till after you do a real estate transaction and do it wrong. Remember always, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening. listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.